Alrighty, welcome back. Nice and filled up with sugar.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Alright, let's go ahead and get back to our study here. Why don't we go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you. For the time that you give us, another lesson to learn, another lesson to receive the word as you intend for us to do as believers in Jesus Christ. I just pray that we can concentrate, make these things real and important in our lives, and just be a light in a dark world. We thank you, and we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are, back to the millstones. And let me just read this verse one more time. This is from verse 18, or chapter 18, verse 21. It says, "Then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer.'" And then we said, this is talked a little bit about a millstone. And the bottom line is, it's a very large and heavy stone. Very large and heavy. You're not just picking it up, at least very easily. And you kind of get the picture here, because it's being compared to Babylon, right? It's being compared. Well, the analogy is, the millstone is being compared to Babylon as the millstone, and it's being thrown into the sea, where Babylon is being thrown down with violence. So there's the comparison, right? So there's a lot of similarities that come to mind. The first thing is, if you can imagine a 3-ton stone being thrown into the ocean, and that thing going down at a very fast pace, right? Basically, once that stone hits the water, nothing is going to stop it. You can't stop it. Well, you can say, oh, a submarine could swoop underneath it and catch it on the top. Or, you know, whatever the case. You can probably think of some things that, but what if you don't know when that stone's going to hit the water? You got a whole nother problem. When the stone hits the water, it is going all the way to the bottom. And there's nothing, at least in a human ability, human power, that's going to stop the stone. It's going to go down until it hits the bottom, right? And thank you. You know, the internet does do some good. I did this calculation from it. It said the speed of a 3-ton millstone going down in the water would be about 16 miles per hour. And you might not think that's very fast, but if you would go to the bathroom during that time, it'd be about a mile down farther in the ocean. I think I read that the farthest point in the ocean is about 6.5 miles deep. That's pretty deep. And if you do this calculation, it would take about 25 minutes to get to the bottom of the ocean from a 3-ton millstone. That's pretty quick, especially if you're trying to stop it. How are you going to stop that? You can't, right? You can't stop it, because it's constantly moving, and it's, you know, it's just too fast. And basically what this is telling us here, in comparison to the downfall of Babylon, is there's nothing any human being is going to be able to do to be able to stop it, prevent it. It's going down. When it's coming down, it is going to the bottom. This is what this is telling us. Nothing any man's going to be able to do to turn the events around. It's out of human control. I think that's the idea. Actually, this is mentioned also in Matthew 18:6. So let's see what they say about it. "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble," this is Jesus. Remember, he's of course, teaching. And he's talking about causing young, immature believers to stumble. And he says, whoever who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned into the depths of the sea. So if you cause a young believer to stumble, it would be better for you to go tie a rope around your neck and go straight to the bottom of the ocean. Wow. You know, that's a heck of a sight. Right? There you go. That's what that would look like. Can you imagine just the speed and you can't take off the rope. You're holding your breath and the pressure is building and building and poof, just pop like a balloon. Or implode like a balloon, I should say. Especially if you're going 6.5 miles down to the bottom. But that's just one place. But you get the point. That's not something you should do, obviously. It's cause a weak, immature believer to stumble. Especially coming from people who know better. Who should know better. To believers who are growing. And these new believers are maybe looking to you and I for to see the example set, a biblical example, right? And then here we are causing them to stumble. Well, maybe here's the other option. This is better according to the word, right? The hope is you would have a pocket knife on you. Should always carry a pocket knife. That's the idea. And then could you get it out? Well, you got to be able to get it out. Might be kind of hard for some of y'all. Yeah. Interesting, right? So, this is a good relation to Babylon, though, right? Because it says she will be thrown down with violence. With violence. It's not just being, you know, the force of the weight of the stone. This is violence taking her down. It's going to be constant. It's going to be quick. We saw that. And when it starts, it's not going to stop until the end, until the fall is complete. That's the idea. With violence. Think about that. Violence. Violence is never something that you want to be involved in. And remember, everybody kind of turned on the system. You remember that? Everybody, the people of Babylon were starting to turn on the system itself. Because that's just how evil works. It'll use something to its benefit until it's no longer of any benefit to them. Right? And Satan was using that religious system and the Antichrist up until a certain point, and then everything turned on itself. Because Satan has to eventually take full control, and that religion was getting in the way. Remember? So there's going to be violence. Part of this reality is violence is going to be a big part of this. Just before the flood of Genesis 6:11, the earth is described as corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. Violence. That's the idea. So, you know, with corruption, with evil, with sin, eventually will make its way to violence. It's basically an unstoppable, you know, path that it takes without God, without righteousness, without a spiritual life. Look what you go to. Violence. That's it. Proverbs 24:2 says the heart devises violence. See, it's not anybody else's. The cause comes from here. The cause is in the heart of man. That's where violence comes from. It isn't something that God causes. That's something to keep in mind. Remember, God is disciplining, judging the evil system, but they're the cause of violence. He's allowing the people to judge themselves, essentially, through their own heart. It's an interesting thought, right? Because God's in control, He's sovereign, and He's judging them at just the right time, and He's doing it through their own actions. A lot of times God can just leave you to your own self, and we'll cause our own problems, we'll cause our own discipline and our own judgment upon ourselves because of the bad decisions that we make. This is no different. Violence is one of those, I guess you could say, self-judging characteristics of the sin nature. It will eventually destroy itself, including the person producing the sin. We will destroy ourselves. What a way to go, right? It's interesting how God can use our actions, our free will, against us, against ourselves. Doesn't really make sense, but it does make sense. When you separate yourself from God, when you move God out of your life, you're going to destroy yourself. That's really the only option there is, destroy. Either live a life according to God and His way that is righteous, or go to the unrighteous side of destruction. There you go. That's what the sin nature truly does. It doesn't just kill us, although it does that too physically. Eventually you will die from the deterioration that sin is causing in your body. But you will also destroy yourself spiritually and more physically the more you're involved with sin without God. Sin is destructive. It's destructive. And according to these verses, the more destruction you cause to other people. So not only are you destroying yourself, you're now destroying other people. I mean, everything. Everything, basically. You and those around you. A lot of destruction. So much destruction. And then, you know, you think that they're going to recover from this. At least we'd like to sometimes think that when you see something bad happen to a city, to a country, that's very devastating. You know, you think, oh, they'll recover. But did you see this part right here? And will not be found any longer. It says they won't be found any longer. This is unrecoverable. There's no recovering from this. And that's going to be a lot of things lost here. A lot of things lost. When you think about all what man can build, what he can, you know, create, what he can come up with. I'm talking about just human beings at this point. The great skyscrapers, the ships, the systems, you know, we got the banking system, you know, the medical system, the justice system, all these systems that man has created. And then you think about all these things coming to a complete end. They will no longer be. Revelation 18:22. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. So what this is telling us, it's showing us all what's coming to an end. All the things that, you know, basically a fruitful nation or people or vibrant people have usually going on. Right here. When we think of music, at least in this way, I think of a social life. I think of happy times. I think of celebration. And of course we think of worship here, but that's not what they're focused on. Right? Music is different things to different people depending on what's in the soul. Music can actually be a form of satanic worship depending on how it's used, right? But either way, it shows some kind of a sense of prosperity, maybe. Good times, maybe no worries. And probably a false worship for most of these people here. Remember, they're worshiping the Antichrist, so there was probably music involved, right? Hear that darn call to prayer. If that thing ever comes around here, I'm probably going to go to prison over it. If I start hearing that, you might as well just lock me up now. I won't be able to handle it. So, anyways, get me out of fellowship before we get going here. So you get the point. All these good things that we normally think is good are not going to be any longer. And then you have the no craftsman of any craft will be found you any longer. You don't think about it, but there's a lot of skilled people in the world that know how to do some very unique things, and they can do it very well. I know that idea is kind of going out of people's minds, but it's still there. There's some very good craftsmen out there that can do some very, very good work that you would have a hard time finding. And, you know, that doesn't have to be necessarily something with your hands. It may be. Doesn't have to be. But these things are gone. And this is actually the root, the core of what, how a nation functions. Of skilled people, skilled labor, all these things, right? Craftsmen. So that's not good. You ever have a hard time finding someone to do work and to do it well? All the time. All the time. That's a problem we have every day. I mean, at least it seems like every day. Having a hard time finding someone to do something, well, at a reasonable price is the other side of this, and to do good work. You know, if you could combine those two things, you'd have a great business. A reasonable price, I'm not saying be cheap, I'm saying a reasonable price, and do good work, the sky's the limit. And serving as unto the Lord? I mean, come on, right? But that's another topic. But you get the idea. These people that are very, very skilled and built this entire system that they're in now are going to be gone. Bye-bye. So no workers to do whatever you need done. And then you have this. The sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. So you don't have any workers, and now you don't have any businesses for them to work at. There's no, you know, everything's going away. And I think verse 23 gives us at least two reasons for this. It says, "And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth." That's the first reason of why these things will not be found any longer. Remember, there's a lot of causes that have caused this. We know the root cause is rejection of God and sin and rampant sin without putting a stop to it, right? But this is saying for, which the word underneath there is giving us a cause of these things. Actually, the next translation is says because. Well, this is the exact same word. I don't know why it's translated for. It's the exact same word. Hati is the word underneath that. It should be translated because. I guess it's too redundant. But because your merchants were the great men of the earth. That's the first thing. And I think this goes back to chapter 18, verse 3. Second half, it says, "And the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality." Corruption. That's what's happening here. Corruption. If your merchants are great, you got a problem. This isn't talking about great in a good way. This is talking about becoming great from corruption, from doing things illegally, from doing things wrong at the expense of the people, just for the sake of wealth, right? If your merchants are great, you've got a much bigger problem than the merchants. You've got a much bigger problem. Right? I always say they sold their soul to the devil. Well, that does have some validity to it. The merchants have sold their soul to the devil. And that's the way they're doing business. Remember, they have the mark of the beast. They had to get the mark in order to buy or sell. So these are the guys that are probably at the forefront of that, buying and selling. The merchants, at least in large numbers, right? So they were great, no doubt about it. They were huge. They were wealthy. They were very, you know, I'm sure they had everything they needed, the ships, the materials, the supplies. We heard earlier all what they were shipping and selling. A lot of expensive things. Remember that? That big laundry list we saw? And you know, that's going to affect, I think the reason why the merchants are being called out here is because think about it. Think about the mass number of people they affect. You don't realize it, but merchants affect everybody in a nation that is using anything from the merchant. That includes every single one of you, by the way. Everybody here is affected by a merchant that has sold, traded, or we've bought from, or we've sold to. I mean, however you want to look at it, it affects you. It affects you. So you could say that, you know, there's a lot more weight on a merchant's shoulder in their decisions than the person that's in the country, because they're kind of at the forefront of that, right? They're enabling all these evil things to happen and enabling them to affect everybody that it trickles down to. So there you go. And you can't, you know, I mean, this is an entire system, right? It's not just the merchants, but they're definitely part of the problem. So that's why they're being called out, because of the mass amount of people that are affected. And it's just a desire to get rich. That's why you're affected negatively. People are gaining wealth off of your country at your expense. That's the thing. That's the key thing to keep in mind. You never see the profits and the wealth of what they see. You just see the downward slope, the leeches sucking you dry, and you get the short end of that stick. That's the idea here. Oh, we all understand that. For some reason, you know, that just rings a bell. Well, that's probably what's happening. Actually, it is what's happening, right? It's just going to get worse, at least at this point. And then look here. It actually gives us a little more information. But here's a second reason, I would say. Because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. So this is all referring to her, Babylon. This isn't referring to just the merchants. This is two different reasons of why these things are happening to Babylon, to the evil system and the evil people. The word sorcery is kind of an interesting word, because when you see the Greek word is pharmakia. It's where we get our word pharmacy from. You think, oh great, sorcery. It is tied to the word sorcery. But that is where we get our word pharmacy and pharmacist and all the other pharmaceuticals. But this word does mean to administer drugs, the Greek word. And it is related to sorcery, like the practice of black magic, you know, those kinds of things, witchcraft, and the occult. So that's what it's tied to in this sense. Let me read this to you, because I think this kind of help you understand. It denotes the practice of manipulating human life or circumstances through potions, drugs, or magical arts that invoke supernatural influence apart from living with God or for God. Apart from the living God. Let me say that right. In Scripture, it is consistently grouped with sins that fracture covenant fidelity, whether toward God, which is idolatry, or a neighbor, which is hatred, jealousy, or murder. While the modern term pharmacy descends from the same root, the biblical concern is not legitimate medicine, but the use of substances or rituals to gain illicit spiritual power or to deceive. That's the idea. So that gives you a very, very good, well-rounded understanding of what this sorcery is here. This is what they've deceived the nations through. That's what it said. Rituals to gain illicit power or to deceive. Now remember, we actually understand this power as power that's not from God. You know, there are some very, very evil things that I know God protects us from. And Satan does have a certain amount of power. There's people that can be demon influenced. There's people that can be demon possessed. And they can experience some of this so-called power that is from Satan and is very, very evil in nature. And a lot of people buy into those kind of things. A lot of people buy into those kinds of pastors, believe it or not. Evil pastors that can do this very well, right? That's why you should be thankful that I can't talk very well a lot of times. I can't say words. I can't do things. Thank you, God. Because there's some pastors that can do all those things right, and a lot of people buy into those pastors. And then on the flip side, in the same sermon, now they're speaking in demonic tongues is what they're doing. I mean, you know, it gets crazy out there. So what this is saying is basically this is trickery. This is trickery, tricking the people. But it's rooted in evil and it's motivated by greed. That's why they do it. That's why these pastors do it, because they're motivated by greed and gaining wealth, at least for the most part. Not always, but it's always motivated in greed and lust, some type of lust. Motivated in greed. Kind of sounds like big pharma, doesn't it? And we got the same word, pharmakia, here. Boy. Maybe it's a big sorcery organization. I don't know. Trickery. So, you know, I mean, if you think about it, so many drugs seem to be harming people for the sake of money. You ever think about that? All the things they put in there? I mean, it's not always the things that you want in there. It's the things that you don't know are in there. That's trickery for the sake of money. You know, it's kind of like the bartender who fills your glass up halfway with water and then fills the other half with the alcohol. Same idea, but it's with medicine now. Just to save a buck at the expense of your life. I mean, that's the idea here, what we're talking about. Oh, let's just put a little filler in there. It won't hurt them. Right? And we can make 2 or 3 more cents on every pill. Well, when you're making millions of pills, that's a lot of money. People have figured these things out, right? They've calculated it. I mean, Satan's very good. He knows how to use a calculator. So, but it's okay. Don't get all stressed out. I know. Just keep taking your medicine. God is in control of life. Who knows? You know, I always think that all these evil things that, you know, China is putting into their plastic and putting into the materials and putting into the medicine, maybe God is just going to use those and use them to your good. They're designing them to kill you, but God is going to, once those things get in your body, who knows? He could say, hey, you know what? That's going to make you live another 2 years. I mean, it's God we're talking about. If someone's trying to kill you, they're not going to kill you until God wants you dead. Till He wants you to come home. Hopefully you're going home, right? That's the whole idea here. So, boy, we live in a heck of a world, don't we? So what this is telling me is that this was their spiritual life, at least a branch of it. This sorcery, this trickery, this was how they deceived, how they got along, how they did everything. But look what it was at the expense of. At the expense of spiritual lives. At the expense of souls. That, see, there's an aspect to this that is so great, it's not even, you know, you can't even, it's not even funny, right? When you do things at the expense of people's spiritual lives, at the expense of eternity, that's a big deal. And not care about it at the same time. Oh, well, we did good this year. The bottom line is good this year. All at the expense of deceiving people. And then here you have, and before we go any further, I can assure you that wherever these things are found, there is recompense due by the divine judgment of God. Always. We always think that everybody gets away with these things in our mind. Every little wrong decision to put that filler in your medicine, to put that chemical in your every single decision has to be held accountable to God's justice. Well, that should make you feel a little bit better. We don't get away with anything, and neither do unbelievers. Just because they're an unbeliever doesn't mean they're off the hook. They're just living the way they want to live. And then here's the third reason. Verse 24. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. Well, that's a good reason. That's a good reason, right? Now we're talking about taking the lives of believers. That's what we're talking about throughout history. This is tied to Jesus. Same people took his life. Of course, we know he didn't die. At least stay dead, right? He's alive. But these people are grouped up in this verse, the same people. So this verse is tying in evil with being the cause of people's death. Evil people tied to the death of people that are believers. And actually, not just any believer, right? It doesn't sound like, according to the prophets, the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. I mean, this is talking about death in general. Sin is always tied to death, no matter where it's found. No matter where it's found. Think about that. And since Babylon represents the world satanic system that we're looking at here, I would say this applies to all people who have died throughout history. And we've got to tie it to evil, who have died as a result of evil. Right? This isn't talking about dying in natural causes in your sleep. Like you all wish you could do. That would be nice, right? We all die in our sleep. But this is talking about those who have intentionally killed. This goes back to the merchants, doesn't it? They're trying to intentionally kill you. Now, whether they do that or not is a different story. But they're tied to that. They know that formaldehyde is not good for you. Or whatever we're putting in there. I mean, it's in everything. I was trying to look for a good energy drink, or not energy drink, a good sports drink, like Gatorade. I couldn't find one. I scanned everyone in that row in Walmart, and I couldn't find one. Actually, there was one. I can't remember what it was. But I think there was one. I mean, that's a lot of drink. That there's row, the both sides of the aisle are full of drinks, and they're all scanning bad, bad, bad. And you look at why, and it's because of stuff they put in the drink. I mean, it's like, and this is the row that people go to buy healthy drinks. I'm like, are you kidding me? Wow. Just at the point when you need a drink, you're thirsty, you're sweaty, and you're drinking stuff that's not good for you. I mean, come on. Boy. Anyways, that's a lot of people being affected, is what I'm telling you. A lot of people being affected. But you know, we get so used to those kinds of things, it becomes normal. And you even become numb to it. It's no big deal now to us. I mean, it is, but it isn't. You know what I mean? It's just normal. It's kind of weird if you think about it. But it's not normal. It's not normal. That's not how God created the earth. That's not how God created man. All these things are abnormal. Abnormal. That's just man's way of getting along with his sin nature. That's how he does it. At the expense of people. What a heck of a system, right? Well, so these are the results. And you've actually made our way to chapter 19. Chapter 19. And I don't want you to forget that all these things that we've been talking about, none of them are from God. None of them. God didn't create sin. He didn't sponsor it. He didn't promote it. That was from man. That was from man. But he will eradicate it eventually forever. But it came from man. So that was a good section of verses, because now we've made our way to chapter 19, which I would consider the climax of the entire book, which is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Basically, it's broken down into two parts. There is the rejoicing, which is triggered, I would say, by what we just saw, Babylon's fall. There's rejoicing in verses 1 through 10 in chapter 19. And then there's the events surrounding the return of Christ, which is in verses 11 through 21. So why don't we just go ahead and look at verse 1. We're here. We're here and we're hungry. Let's look at verse 1. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God." Well, there's a good verse to start your day. Right? That's a great verse. That's a good verse to keep in mind. Because there's a lot of words in here, and they're telling us that they don't belong to anybody else but God. But God here. And here, I would say this is the result of the command we just saw to rejoice. Because these things are coming from believers in heaven that are saying this right here. They're rejoicing. The great multitudes is a reference to believers who have died up until this point, and they're in heaven right now, or here at this time in the tribulation. Well, what did they say? Well, all together, they said this. At least that's the beginning of it. You know, if you sound that out, actually, in the Greek, you can actually get ha, le, lu, ya on the end there. You can kind of see it. But I wanted to show you that because that's where we're going to, at least where we, what we're going to talk about. Because that's a good word. We don't use it a lot, but it's a good word, right? It's actually only found 4 times in the New Testament, and I think it was about 22 in the Old Testament. And we're in the New Testament right now. And I just showed you some Hebrew, so you should be thinking, well, that's not in the New Testament, Pastor Scott. I know. But it's actually the same equivalent in the Hebrew to the Greek hallelujah. But it's just from the Old Testament. There is a difference in these two. And that is the translation, which is kind of weird. They're translated differently. And I would tell you that they mean the same thing. Which is kind of funny because, you know, sometimes I don't understand human translators and why they do certain things. maybe that's just above my pay grade, but if it means something, why not just put the meaning in the translation, is my point, instead of hallelujah, which, what does that mean? Well, we know at least maybe they're happy, right? But let's, I think that's a good place to stop, but we'll, actually when we come back, we'll talk about this word hallelujah, how it's different, and how it applies to us personally. Because at this point, we're the ones that are going to be saying hallelujah. It's us. It's you and I and every other believer who's in heaven at this point. So, it's a good word. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for the time that you've given us. Thank you for the insight into your word, into the truths that we need to take, to listen to take on in our own personal lives, and to take action on them, to think differently, to make decisions that reflect your glory, your grace, your spiritual life, and everything that you've given us to this world, to the people that live in the world, because time is of the essence. And you have a plan not only for humanity, but you also have a plan for our individual personal lives. And I just pray that we can live up to that plan, live up to your desires, and also be able to continue in a way that is faithful to the word. We thank you for all these things, and we ask them in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.